tell you about my hometown. It's the capital of the state. I'll have to brag a little bit, but I really won't exaggerate. It's the home of the famous Ramblin Rex from Georgia Tech. Atlanta, Atlanta, that's my hometown. Atlanta, Atlanta, that's my hometown. We're near the Great Stone Mountain, we're sometimes called Gate City. If you've ever been on Peachtree,
this is Amber Wright
and Rusty Tanton,
and you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that features Sip and See Skinnerama during the Progressive Happy Hour from 4 to 8 p.m.
Very nice.
We're here with, introduce yourself, please.
I am Greg Germani, and I guess we're going to talk about the Atlanta Time Machine website.
We absolutely are. So just tell us a little bit about it.
The Atlanta Time Machine website is sort of a website that I think every town ought to have one of these. It just sort of digs through the past and examines old postcards and old photos of the city. I think the main part of the website is the then and the now photos, where I've got hundreds and hundreds of photos of houses, churches, intersections, shopping centers, and I was able to find old photos of these, and I went back to the same place and stood as much as possible in the same, got the same angle and tried to capture the exact same photograph from a contemporary perspective. And I guess I really have to tip my cap to Georgia State University for putting up the collections that really got the whole thing started. And if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't have picked up a camera and gone out and made a website. But anyway, that's what it is. It's about looking at the past and looking at the present and seeing maybe how we got from point A to point B.
When did Georgia State put up that collection?
I discovered it in October 2003, and based on what I've read, I think it was up for about 2 years before that. So I want to say roughly around 2001.
Okay.
And, you know, what they had done, if your listeners don't know, what they had done was they had somehow managed to buy the archives of two different commercial photographers here in Atlanta. And these two different commercial photography outfits were like the premier commercial photography outfits in Atlanta from the 30s through the 70s. And they had, you know, tens of thousands of old negatives and photographs in their archives. And so Georgia State used that as the basis for putting up a website featuring a great many of these photographs. And so that's sort of how it got started and how I found it.
And it's very easy to get sucked into the Atlanta Time Machine website and then 2 hours later look up and say, oh, crap, I was supposed to be working.
That's great. I love to know people are wasting time on the website. That does make me very happy.
Where else have you gotten old photos from?
I am constantly scouring the electronic marketplace of eBay for old postcards and old magazines, like the magazines called Gay Atlanta.
And to the listeners, that's what I read from in the introduction and why I was laughing a little bit.
And Key to Atlanta, and some other similar publications. These were magazines that were around in the era before there was a creative loafing, and they existed primarily just to have ads to get to travelers that would showcase what was going on in town at the supper clubs, at the lounges, at the burlesque clubs. And so if you ever see any of these, they're just absolutely fascinating because they've got all these great old ads.
Do you happen to know how these were distributed?
Well, I do know that they were distributed to hotels, mm-hmm. because I've got a couple that are actually stamped with different hotels' names on them. And then sometimes on the cover itself, it's printed, it will say, you know, courtesy of the Winecoff Hotel. And so they were definitely distributed at hotels. Beyond that, I don't know where. I've talked to, like, Atlanta natives who grew up here, and they remember seeing it, and they wouldn't have seen it in hotels. So somewhere else they were distributed, but I'm not mm-hmm. exactly sure of where else they may have done that.
And that's the kind of thing that you can't, like you said earlier before we turned the microphones on, that you can't just go to the library and look up that kind of information.
Right. That's just kind of it's the kind of thing that, you know, if somebody's sitting down and writing a history of Atlanta and they have a publisher, they're probably going to overlook that, and they're going to go to bigger, more widely recognized landmark topics and mm-hmm. discuss those. And you know, there's probably a good reason for that. But I think there's also a good case to be made for exploring some of this other forgotten stuff that kind of fleshes out the details of what a city may have been like by looking at all these old ads and seeing what kind of entertainment people used to flock to in the 1940s and 50s and 60s and where those places were. And then it's fun to like see what's there now. And it's all about the, you know, the transition of time.
Obviously, you've looked at tons of photos putting this massive website together and gone through a lot of these magazines, postcards, etc. What have you noticed about the city and how it's just entertainment and structure and just how everything in general, attitudes have changed that maybe most people haven't noticed?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I'm not gonna try to make something up that's gonna sound dumb. I've learned a lot, but I don't know if I can really put my finger on it.
You don't see any, there's nothing that sticks out though.
You know, nothing, I guess I would say it this way perhaps, nothing that would really be specific to Atlanta because I think all of the transitions that Atlanta was going through at the time, so was every other major city in every other region of the country. You know, the transition from being a town without interstates to being a town with interstates, and then with that, of course, came the suburban developments, suburban shopping centers and malls, and the gradual depletion of a downtown nightlife to the outer suburbs. And so I think that was going on everywhere, and you can certainly see that it went on in a very big way in Atlanta. When you look at, you know, just for the listeners, I'll mention here these ads that we're talking about. I've put some of them on my website, which is atlantatimemachine.com. And there's some, a couple dozen that revolve around the Claremont Lounge and the different nightclubs that operated there. That's always a very popular section with the nightlife aficionados. And also there were a lot of clubs in the Imperial Hotel, which is a building that still stands on
It looks pretty decrepit.
It's on the north side of downtown. It's right before Peachtree goes.
Is that
over.
Abandoned now? Do you know?
No, it was abandoned for several years. And then they reopened it as an assisted living facility for perhaps for the disabled or for low income people or some mixture of both. I'm not exactly sure, but it's a facility in which, you know, government assistance is involved with the people who live there. But that was a pretty big big time happening hotel in Atlanta in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and so on. They had nightclubs there all the time. And so I scanned dozens of ads for the clubs that operated there. And so if you search around my website, you will also find a bunch of these old ads there too.
Have you ever, when you're out getting the photos of the place now, have you ever encountered people, you know, somehow come upon people to talk to people that know of the area from 30, 40 years ago, maybe have lived there, grew up there?
Yes, that's happened on a few occasions. And it's always fun to engage the people in conversation. And sometimes people will just walk out and, you know, if I'm photographing specifically if I'm doing a photograph of a house, because I have probably a couple of hundreds of photographs of just mundane houses on average streets scattered throughout the metro area, Atlanta city limits mostly. But sometimes somebody in the house will see you with something in your hand and you're walking around the street in front of their house and you're looking through my camera. And what I always do is I take a printout of the old photo with me to whatever site I'm going to so I can, you know, get a good duplication type shot. So sometimes people will come out and say, hey, what are you doing? Can I help you? And I always completely understand their curiosity. And I always say, oh, you know, I've got this really fascinating old photograph of your house. Would you like to see it? And so I have talked to people who have lived in, you know, their houses for decades and tell stories about what the neighborhood was like and how long they've lived there. That's always quite fun. And people always really get a kick out of seeing a stranger walk up with a 40-year-old picture of their house.
I bet. Well, that's just, I think that's the most interesting thing when it comes to history of a place is the stories that people have, the anecdotal history, all those kinds of things that you can't find anywhere else. And that if someone doesn't document it, it'll die with the person. I mean, as morbid as that sounds, but, you know, I mean, I've just been fascinated lately. I've really gotten into the whole Augusta thing and listening to my parents talk about it, and you're not going to be able to find that stuff anywhere else. I don't know. This doesn't lead into a question. I'm just saying. But like, what percentage of places that you go to photograph, would you say have been just the building is just knocked down?
Actually, a very tiny, tiny, minute percentage, because a lot of times what I really seek to do is go out and take a contemporary photograph of something that still stands, where you can have a physical object in picture A and in picture B to tie the two things together. Because if you don't have that, it's just a much harder thing to, you know, it's not as inherently interesting, I don't think. It can be interesting, but, you know, more fascinating.
I've seen a few on your site, like North Avenue around Georgia Tech and some of those places where almost all the buildings are gone except maybe for the pizzeria on the corner or something like that. How do you determine when you see an area where a lot of the buildings were torn down, but when that's still an interesting photo?
I have very low standards. If I can, in other words, and you'll see that I just put pictures of anything up because, you know, I've got the server space and, you know, I will put up pictures of almost anything. If I can find an old picture of it and go back and duplicate it and have something in picture A and in picture B, I will put the photo up and, you know, give whatever context I can about it, if I can provide any context at all, that is. But so I don't really have a really high threshold for what makes it fascinating enough to put up. I just put up, you know, I don't even know how many pages I have up or how many images, but I have a lot.
Well, you said there's just from Georgia State alone tens of thousands of photos, so I imagine you'll be at this for a long time. How much time would you say you spend, like, per week devoted to this?
I spend an awful lot of time on it. Several hours each week at the very minimum, doing research. Maybe I'm at the library. Maybe I'm looking up, you know, I like to go and look up things in the old city directories. Mm-hmm. And the Decatur Library has a really good collection of city directories going back to the 1930s.
Really?
Wow. And you can check that out.
Yes, absolutely.
I had a great aunt or great-great aunt or something who apparently lived in Decatur in the 40s, and I've been trying to find out where, and so maybe I could
Well, the way the city directories were laid out back in those days is you had one volume for Atlanta, and everything within the city limits proper of Atlanta would be in there. And then there was another edition called the Suburban Volume. They started publishing at some point. I don't know if they had started that as early as the 1940s, but in the Suburban Volume, you'll find listings for East Point and Decatur and Clarksville, perhaps, and, you know, Tucker and stuff like that. But it's really fascinating because not only can you look up a person and see where they live, you can look up a specific address and see, you know, what was at this address in 1945, and you can look it up, and, oh, this was a Kroger supermarket in 1945, and, you know, so I find it very fascinating.
Wow, I think I can get sucked into that for days.
Absolutely.
I found in one of the fascinating things I found in the city directory was where a wrestler named Freddie Blassie used to live. I don't know if you
Classy Freddie Blassie.
I don't know if you guys.
I'm
always happy to see it when somebody recognizes the name Classy Freddie Blassie.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that you can find in old city directories. And I keep meaning to go back to the library and look somebody else up, you know. I think it would be fun to see where Hank Aaron lived in the mid-60s, if he were listed. You know, it's weird. It's like I wouldn't have expected to find somebody as famous as Fred Blassie in the city directory, but yet he was there. So I need to go back and look up some more famous people and, you know, show everybody where they used to live.
Yeah, because they didn't start out famous. So.
That's right.
A little Hollywood tour, sort of.
So back to what we were talking about earlier about setting up shots and determining what is an interesting shot. How often have you had problems locating something that's in an old photo? Because I know a lot of the street names have changed. Have you had many problems with that?
Yeah, I have. Sometimes that makes it a little more challenging. And I think Atlanta, probably more than any other city that I can think of, has changed a lot of street names.
It seems like they love to change street names.
If anybody from the Atlanta City Council is listening, I would like to suggest something. I would love it if they still commemorated the people that get streets named after them, but did so in a different fashion. Naming libraries when a new library is built after somebody, or a new school, or a new road. Mm-hmm. Not that many new roads get built, but or a statue. I like the idea of statues all over the place. I think that would be a really good way to do it.
Absolutely.
What bothers me about changing the name of a street or a road is it's sort of makes the history of the neighborhood, you know, disjointed, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And almost everybody in Atlanta is a transplant anyway. So there's not a really good institutionalized memory within a lot of people's minds of what this neighborhood was like and what the history of it is. And it just seems to me that it's more and more difficult to establish that sort of a thing, which I think is a good thing, when road names change all the time. And it doesn't matter who it's being named after. I just don't want to see any road name change.
Yeah,
to change Stewart Avenue to Metropolitan Parkway didn't really drive the crime out. Other factors are going to have to do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they changed that, and, you know, it just, you know, it upsets me, and I wish they wouldn't do it. But, you know, speaking of the statues, there's a statue downtown on Marietta Street of Henry W. Grady, mm-hmm. who was an editor of the Atlanta newspaper, the Journal. It was way, way before the Journal and the Constitution merged, so at the moment I can't remember which he edited. But he was a very influential editor, and they put up a statue of him after he died. And I don't believe they named a street after him, but I think the statue serves as a very effective memorial to him. And mm-hmm. I don't think that would be enhanced by changing the name of Forsyth Street to Grady Street.
Right.
They named a hospital after him, and they named they put a statue up. And that's great. I wish they would do that more.
Yeah,
so city
absolutely.
Council members, take note.
Don't change the street names. Have you done this kind of thing in any other Georgia cities or towns?
No, I haven't. And, you know, it's interesting because when I first discovered that Georgia State Archive, I was just absolutely mesmerized. And I just was, you know, addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun to explore all these old photos. And it was an amazing thing. And the first thing I started doing was searching around to see if somebody had already done this with all these Georgia State University photos, because it seemed like such a natural idea.
Logical thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't imagine that nobody else had done it, but nobody had, I found out, so I really picked it up and started running with it. And the Atlanta one just takes up so much time that I can't see myself branching out too much because, you know, I live here. I live in Decatur, actually, but close enough, and I'm in downtown and midtown constantly, every day almost. I work down there, and so I've only done it for Atlanta, and I really didn't know the first thing about technology when I started. Mm-hmm. I just thought, well, a lot of idiots have web pages. Certainly I can figure this out, and it took me a long time. And if any of your listeners have yet to go there, I will warn you, it's nothing fancy. It's absolutely utilitarian. But it's pretty easy to navigate and find your way around. It's just not going to win any awards for fancy design. So anyway, I had to go buy a digital camera and figure out how to make a web page. But once I got the basics down, it was quite easy.
I absolutely agree with you when you said earlier that this is something that every city should have, because it's just a way of keeping people connected to the past, to the history, which I just think is very important. And again, this doesn't lead into a question, but...
No, I agree.
Well, it sort of, you know, shows people how Atlanta was, you know, maybe different from Birmingham or Knoxville or Savannah. You know, I think I've heard a lot of people make this observation. Every place, you know, to some extent, every place seems to feel the same more and more. Regionalism's sort of been dying out for quite a while. I'm a big fan of regionalism, you know, regionally brewed beers or regional baseball teams or regional radio hits from the 1950s or 60s. Just, I find all that stuff pretty fascinating. And so this is just sort of a way to point out some of the things that might have made Atlanta different from some of the other cities around back in, you know, 50, 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm. We're sitting now, and for the people who don't know where we are in the Ice House Lofts in Decatur. Have you come across any photos of the Ice House?
No, I haven't. I would love to, though. And a friend of mine recently gave me an email address from a friend of his, somebody who goes to his church, and he had his friend, my friend's friend, that is, had done work for DeKalb County in the 1950s and 60s, and my friend Mike tells me that he's got a large collection of old photographs taken of Decatur in the DeKalb County area of all kinds of different places that were used, you know, for Chamber of Commerce type things. Or
pamphlets. He needs to show those to you.
Well, I've been quite busy, and I haven't tracked him down
yet.
But I certainly will, because he tells me, I'm told, that he's very willing to share these things. He'd be totally into the idea of letting me borrow and scan some photos. And if that's the case, I would love it. I tell you all that as a way of saying maybe.
Yeah.
There's a chance I might come across one, an old photo of the Ice House Lofts. And if I do, I will certainly pass it on.
My mom was telling me how they used to drive over here to the Ice House because the way they didn't have refrigerators like this. They had these ice boxes that were out in their garages or their basements or places like that. And they would have to buy these bricks of ice that were like 5 by 3 or something like that. They were massive, and they'd have to load them onto a truck. And this was one of the places that both my mom and her best friend Susan would come to get those big bricks of ice.
So you grew up nearby?
Well, my mom actually grew up downtown on Calhoun Street. I guess that's over by Georgia Tech. Yeah. I mean, my grandpa played football for Georgia Tech. You know, they lived in Atlanta for a long time and then kind of moved out in the 60s and I guess in the 60s when all the white people ran away.
But, white flight.
Well, I didn't grow up here or anywhere near here, so all of this was sort of, you know, starting. I've lived here since about 1986, yeah. I guess, so I'd been living here quite a few years by the time I started up with this website. But I always think it would be a wonderful thing if I had all these memories from my childhood from 40 years ago or 35 years ago, so I could, you know, have an even more informed sort of visual idea of what Atlanta used to look like. But I don't have that, so I make do.
Next best thing.
I should get my mom on a podcast.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go off for a minute here it's not related to Atlanta Time Machine, but just the fact that, you know, sometimes you hear it said, oh, well, you can find anything on the internet. But I've been finding that with a lot of this sort of obscure history stuff, you can't. And just the other day, I got on this kick. I was looking for old photos of this one building and then like this one little square in downtown Augusta. There used to be a little park, a little square, and there was a hotel called the James Hotel. And I remember it from when I was a kid. By that point, it was really decrepit. I don't know if it was abandoned or what, but it was looking rough. But it had a nightclub in it that was in the Augusta magazines from the 70s. And no street address, though, just said James Hotel. And I remember the little park, and I'm thinking, I can't place where that is now, because downtown Augusta, they've torn a lot of stuff down there, too. And so I was searching and searching online, searching about everything I could think of, and I just kept getting nothing. And I finally came across an old postcard on eBay. It was the only thing I found that referred to it, but it didn't even have the James Hotel on the photo. It had old post office. And then I found out the name of the square was Barnett Park. I searched for that. I couldn't find anything. So it's just that kind of thing concerns me, I guess, because that's the kind of stuff that I just worry will fade away, you know? Mm-hmm. And if anybody listening knows that about the James Hotel in Augusta, please give me whatever information you have.
eBay is a pretty good source, though. You mentioned finding that postcard on eBay, and I have found a lot of good artifacts, and I'm constantly looking for old postcards and old magazines that pertain to Atlanta, and anything that I find interesting and that might shine an interesting light on the past. And I would also like to urge your listeners not to bid against me on any of these articles. You guys email me and see if I'm going to bid on it before you move in, okay? I would definitely be grateful.
Well, what are your goals and plans for where you want to go with this?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me if I wanted to make it commercial because, you know, a lot of people do find their way there. But I like the idea of having no ads. It's just kind of a plain and simple thing. And so... and also, even if I wanted to make it commercial, I would run into trouble with the fine folks at Georgia State University.
Yeah.
Because they're happy to let me use the photographs in a strictly non-commercial way.
Right.
So, but even if that obstacle were not in my path, I don't really know that I'd feel like going out and trying to, you know, drum up advertising dollars. But I just want to keep on adding more and more photos and old articles, old postcards, and more scans of old nightclubs. And I'm just going to, you know, keep adding to it. I've got stuff on my computer to last me through another couple of years. And
I'm sure.
By the time all of that stuff has been posted, I will have acquired and accumulated who knows how much more crap to put up.
Well, parting thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I think that pretty much exhausted. Like you said, I'm going to agree with you when you were agreeing with me. Every city should have one of these websites. I found one the other day for Birmingham.
Oh, wow.
So if any of your listeners are from Birmingham, birminghamrewound.com is a very fun
site.
I'm going
to check that out.
And repeat your URL.
My URL is just simply www.atlantatimemachine.com. And even though there's no commercial component to the site, I used a .com name simply because it's what people remember
people
better.
Know that.
Yeah.
So it's easy to find.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.
Come to see my little league team play. 'Cause Mama was a dancer at the Claremont Lounge. Those men would give her money just to shake her butt around. The other kids at school didn't treat me worth a damn. 'Cause Mama was a dancer at the Claremont Lounge.